Now tonight, with God's help, I have quite a few scriptures, and God will help me to give them to you to help you to understand the difference in the voice of God and Satan's subtle voice, that you understand in your life and in your experiences when it is Satan speaking to you and when Satan is tempting you, how to understand it and to discern it and to recognize it for what it's worth. And when God is speaking to you, to recognize and distinguish between the two in these days. Satan is so clever and is so subtle and is so interested in destroying you, in capturing any of us. And he comes very subtly. And we need discerning. We need to understand the source. We need to discern between the right and the wrong, and the voice of God and the voice of Satan. And by understanding it, God, by looking at this book and listening to the source of it all, it will help us tonight. Praise God. Now, to begin with, I'd like to read to you from Isaiah, the 14th chapter, and starting at the 12th verse. This is Satan's fall. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, now this is Satan, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will exalt myself above the stars of God. I will exalt myself. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north at the very top. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Going to challenge the Most High now. I'm coming up to His level. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, the grave or hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. You who will lift yourself up, rebellion, self-exaltation. I am going to lift myself up to the heights. And Isaiah receives the word, but see, you will be cast down to Sheol, the grave, hell, death, and to the depths or the lowest of the pit. The source. Then if you notice the difference, that is Satan. That's always Satan. He's always exalting, always challenging, always lifting himself up, and he wants you to do the same. Anytime the voice comes in that dimension, it's always Satan. He came in the third chapter of the book of Genesis. He comes to Eve. He comes to Eve and he says, did God say that you would die if you would eat that? No, he said, that's not true. That isn't true, Eve. So clever and so subtle. He said, God knows, Eve, that when you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and when you partake of that, he said, you are going to be wise like God. And Eve looked and listened to him. He said, and it's beautiful, and it's desirable, and it will do something for you. It will lift you up, and you are going to be like God. Don't listen to God. He's lying to you. And Eve took the fruit and listened to him. And every human being since has listened. And she gave it to Adam and he partook and listened. And it's always the same, subtle, always promising you something that's not going to happen. Death came that minute. Death entered the human race. Adam lived 69 years or so, but he died, and death started that day in him. And the next chapter, chapter 4 in Genesis, their son, Cain, is a murderer. Sin has gotten in, and now every sin in the world flows out of pride. All of it came out of that. His son committed murder, killed his brother. In the fourth chapter, the very next chapter, after you read this, the next chapter, his son Cain slays his brother Abel, a murderer. All sin comes from Satan. All challenges of this book come from Satan. Every time this book is challenged and the Word of God is challenged, it's always Satan. He's always challenging this book. Do you know the honest truth? A lot of people don't have the whole Bible in their heart. There's certain parts of it, like love your enemies and do other things, and I can't go into all of it, but people just don't read that part. You've got to take the whole book and take the whole thing. Now, sin came into the world. Everybody was born of Adam. His seed came into us. All human beings in this world came of one flesh. All of us came from Adam, from the seed of Adam. Then God, in his mercy, seeing a lost world, sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to redeem us from Satan, to pay the price for our sins, but to also give us his spirit that we would become his children and not listen to his voice anymore, but listen to the voice of God. The great secret is discerning the voice of Satan and the voice of God. God wants to speak to you. Now, let me read to you the words of Jesus Christ in Philippians, the second chapter of Philippians, the second chapter. And starting at the fifth verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, he was already equal with God, but made himself just the opposite of Satan, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, came down in the likeness of a man, humbled himself, and being found in appearance as a man, he was a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself, came down, took our sins upon himself, and in the garden made that humiliating commitment, praying, sweating like blood, the weight of the world, of the sins of the world upon him. He said, if there's any other way you could save the human race, putting it in my words, do it. But nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. God said, there's no other way, Jesus. You've got to take their place. Humble yourself. And Jesus Christ took the sin of the world. Now, to help you understand, it's a little bit heavy tonight, but you need to understand it. God will give you the mind to grasp it. All of the sin of the world came out of one man's seed, Adam's. All of us. All the sin of the world flowed out of Adam. So one man's bloodstream, all of it was in Adam's blood. It all multiplied out through us. So this man's blood was different. He was God in the flesh. He didn't have a natural father. He did not have the seed of Adam in him. He was born of the Holy Spirit, a mother but not a father, could not have a human father. He would have been a son of Adam. He is a son of God. He gave his bloodstream for the bloodstream of Adam. He gave his blood for the bloodstream of Adam. He took our place. That's why we took his blood tonight. That's why we drank it tonight. Because we are of his blood now. Somebody say hallelujah. I've got Adam's blood in this body, but I've got the blood of Jesus Christ in this body, overcoming the blood of Adam. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Well, we took it. But he had to humble himself, come down and humble himself and take our place and have all of the sins of the world brought upon him, and to have God turn away, and he bore our sins and took the judgment of our of Adam's place. He took all of the sins of Adam's descendants because he's the second man, hallelujah, born without it. Now, he humbled himself, took our place. Now, God has highly exalted him now and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, here we have two sources. We have Satan and the power of Satan, and he is always rebellious and always lifted up in pride. Pride is the original sin. Pride is the mother of all sin. Jesus Christ came in humility, and humility is the thing that redeemed us. His humility, his coming down, his humility, he humbled himself to this death, crying, and he took it, went before the high priest. They spit at him. They smote his, they whipped his back as only the Romans would do, almost to death, and nailed him to the cross. And that wasn't the worst. Then he took our sins in his soul and bore our sin, all of it, humbled himself that we might be free and born into his kingdom. And now we are of his blood and we are part of him. But we always must listen to his voice of humility and reject the voice of Satan that came to Eve of pride. All pride comes out of Satan. All pride comes out of Satan. Humility comes out of Jesus. His voice always is asking, calling you to humility. Satan is always trying to lift you up in rebellion against God, to have your own way and not listen to this book. Don't listen to this book. Do what you want to do. Do what you feel like doing. No, you have to get this word into you and listen to this word and humble ourselves to listen to the book, to be like Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Now, to just say a few words, in Proverbs, the 8th chapter and the 13th verse, it says, God hates pride. Why? It's all of the devil. God, just putting it in my words, it's a little more complicated, simpler, but it just says that exactly in plain English. He hates other things, but it says he hates pride. He hates it. God hates pride. Because pride is where? Pride is from whom? Who is the father of pride? Satan. Say Satan.
Satan.
Say it loud.
Satan.
No, say it loud.
Satan.
Get it straight. Satan is the father of pride. All pride comes out of Satan. God hates all pride. Say all.
All,
all pride. He hates English pride, Italian pride, Jewish pride, black. He hates all pride. He hates it. So stay away from it. He hates pride. Why? Pride is from Satan. He's the one that lifted himself up. All pride. Nice looking pride. Smart pride. Foolish pride. It's all devilish. It's getting quiet in here. Proverbs 16:18. Pride comes before destruction. You're going to see now in a few minutes, I'll take you to the last chapter of pride, where pride ends up. But all pride comes before destruction. Pride always brings destruction. As you'll see, Satan will be destroyed. All pride is always destroyed. God wipes it out because he hates it. He hates it. It's of the devil. It's against God. It's against his word. And it's against you. You don't know it, but it's against you. It'll destroy you. Pride will destroy you. He hates it. Pride, 29:23 says, pride will bring you low. Pride will bring you down. Pride brings down. God hates it. It brings destruction. So avoid it in every form. In every form. Run from it. It'll destroy you. Ask God to help you to understand it. To hear when Satan suggests this rebellion and this pride. You don't deserve that. You know, he starts talking how great you are. Be careful. So ask God to help me understand when the spirit of pride is trying to come into. It tries to come in everybody. All kind, in a million forms. You have to ask God, give me understanding because it's against you and it's against me and it's against my future and it'll bring destruction to me and to my life and to those around me. In Proverbs 15:33, it says, before honor is humility. Humility brings honor. It says it twice to make sure you get it in Proverbs. It says it again in the 18th chapter and the 12th verse, same things. Before honor comes humility. Humility precedes honor. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud. He hates it. He resists it. He is against it. He will resist you when you turn to pride. He hates pride. He resists pride. He resists it. He's against it. He fights against it. You're on the other side. You're opposite side of God when you step into pride, when you allow pride to come in. He will resist you. It don't care who you are. Ben Crandall, you, anybody. Wherever it shows up, he's against it. Always against it. Say always.
Always.
Say it loud.
Always.
Always against it. He's always against it. I don't care who it is. No, you're not anything special, and neither am I. There's nobody special. There's just one special person, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He works against the proud and works with the humble. He works against the proud and works with the humble. He works against the proud. Any part of it, any amount of it, any little bit of it, he works against it. And he works with the humble. He's with you when you're humble, against you when you're proud. Praise God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. James 4:10 says, and the Lord will lift you up. James says it so clearly. Humble yourself. He resists the proud. And then again, he says it in the fourth chapter and the 10th verse. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord, come down before him, and he will lift you up. He will exalt you. Pride, this whole book here is about two things. It's about Satan and God, about Satan and his pride, and trying in the war between the proud and the humble. Jesus Christ, who came down, was the humblest man that ever set foot on planet Earth, was Jesus Christ. The humblest man that ever lived was Jesus Christ. He took a place of humility that no one has ever taken, that he took, because he left heaven with God the Father, his place with him, and came down and born of a Virgin Mary. And he was scandalized in his youth, born in a stable. They took the place where the cows ate and put him in the manger. A manger isn't a beautiful thing, like we're going to celebrate Christmas right away. And we got the manger, such a glorious thing. Manger is nothing but a terrible place where a cow eats hay. That's where they have this place where you put the hay in there and the cow pulls it out and eats it. And they put Jesus in where the cows ate. Stinking place. Cows mess up all the time. I was raised in a country. I lived with the cows and raised as from 10 years old. I was milking the cow and taking the cow out and taking care of the cow. I understand cows, and they're a messy crowd. That's where he was born. Died for us. Humble. Humbled himself. The humblest man that ever set foot on this earth was our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you've got to get it straight. All pride is of the devil. Humility is from Jesus. Because none of us have. You know, pride is such a lie. It is so crazy. When you think about it, like people are proud that I'm better than somebody else. You know, it's pride is insanity. Because nobody has anything that wasn't given to you. Whatever you've got, you didn't do it. You don't deserve it. You didn't do anything to get it. You didn't decide what you'd look like. Well, you could improve it a little or make it bad, but there's not much you can do about it. Really, not a lot you can do. You didn't decide. Why in the world be proud? Because whatever you have, if you have any talent, you didn't create it. You didn't create your brain. Whatever you've got was given to you. Whatever you've got. Thank God for it. You can be thankful, never proud, never above somebody else. Because God created every man. Respect everybody. Respect everybody. And be thankful. And take a humble spirit. Whatever we have, it's a gift. I didn't deserve anything. Whatever you get, every meal, the clothes on your back, the bed you sleep in, is a gift from God. Be thankful, but never arrogant, never proud, never feel above somebody else. You're not above anybody else. We're human beings created in the image of God. Whatever we have came from Him. Thank God. Praise God. This book starts with the God creating a nation to bring forth the Son, Jesus, the Savior, brought the nation of Israel and called Abraham out, and then the nation of Israel and the kings of Israel. And all the books of Kings and Chronicles tell the story of these kings. As fast as one of them is lifted up, really gets lifted up, every one of them will fall. When they really get high, they come down because we can't handle it. Pride is, and Satan is such a liar to say, always giving you the credit, making you feel like you're great. One of the clearest stories of this example in all of the Old Testament is the book of Daniel. And I think it's the fourth chapter of Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar is the greatest kingdom in the world. He's ruling this kingdom. It is the ruling the whole world. And Daniel, in his vision, says that's the head of gold. There'll never be a kingdom like Nebuchadnezzar's. And Nebuchadnezzar has a dream in that fourth chapter. And he dreams that there's a great tree that reaches to heaven. And all the birds of the earth are in its branches. And underneath it is fruit for every person in the world. Everybody feeds. This tree is the greatest thing in the world. And then there's a voice, cut the tree down and save the stump and the roots and put an iron and a band of metal around it, of brass around it, around the stump. And let seven seasons pass over it, seven seasons. And the dream leaves him. He can't get the interpretation. Nobody can understand it and give him the interpretation. Daniel comes in. And Daniel understands it. And Daniel gets sad. The king says, "What's wrong?" He says, "King, may you live forever. But the dream is about you. You are that tree. And you have reached the kingdom that's the greatest in the world, and never a kingdom like yours, never will be, till Jesus comes. But he says, you, it was cut down. You will go out and you'll be like an animal and you'll eat grass and hair will become like feathers and terrible and you will lose your mind. And for 7 years, you're going to be like that." And Daniel said, to Nebuchadnezzar, "If you would humble yourself, king, and take care of the poor, and humble yourself and come down, maybe God would spare you and it wouldn't happen." He didn't listen. And 1 year later, to the day, he was on the roof walking about and looking at Babylon, this great city, and he says, "Look what I've done. I have created this great Babylon, this greatest city in the world. Look what I have done. Look how great I am. I am something so incredible, the king of the world." And while he's got these exalted, proud thoughts of Satan, where'd they come from? Satan. Satan. Pride thoughts always come from Satan. The devil said that to him, and he believed it. And he said immediately the voice came that God would do what he said, and his brain was gone. He lost his mind. Pride leads to certain kinds of pride lead to some sorts of insanity. And this man lost his mind, went down. They let him out. He became like an animal on his all fours. He lost it. He began to eat like cows, lived like an animal for 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, his mind came back. And he writes that incredible thing about God, how there's just one God. And he's a humble man after this. Let me tell you, Nebuchadnezzar is the king, but he's a different king. He's a different king. God says he will bring the proud down. Now, Satan has lifted the world up, and the world, America, is lifted up. He brings nations down, and America will come down. It has to come down. Nations that lift themselves up come down. It's always happened in all of history. This country will be no different. You can't do it. An individual does. A church does. An individual. A nation. It's a divine principle of this book. When we lift ourselves up, God brings us down. So the secret is humble yourself and God will lift you up. You come down voluntarily. Humble yourself, as I read to you tonight. Come down and God will lift us up. God wants us to take the spirit of Jesus. As Philippians said, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ." A mind of humility, a mind to listen, a mind never to rebel, never to exalt yourself up. Don't let Satan give you a rebellious spirit, and don't let Satan put it in you to go against this book. Humble yourself. take the whole book and believe it and walk in it and live in it, and God will bless you, and you will have the Spirit of Jesus Christ will be in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The spirit of praise and a spirit of song. Praise God. Take the humble place always, always. Distinguish. Every proud thought is of the devil. Every exalted thought that's against God, that's about lifting yourself up, is of the devil. Pride is all from hell. All of it. Abandon it. Humility is from God. Jesus Christ. Now, humility destroys Satan and destroys pride. Jesus Christ destroyed the power of Satan on the cross. When he said it's finished, Satan was finished. Somebody say hallelujah. He was finished. When Jesus said it's finished, Satan was finished. Pride was finished. It was over. It's just a matter of time. He's redeeming his people. His spirit of victory comes in us. It is a spirit of humility. And a spirit of Jesus Christ is a spirit that's going to win in the end. Humility wins in the end. Pride goes to hell and humility goes to heaven. Hallelujah. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah. All pride's going to hell. And the humility and the spirit of Jesus is going to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let me read something else to you over here in the end of the book in Revelations. In Revelations, the 20th chapter. Revelations 20. We'll see where pride winds up. When I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil, Satan. Make sure you get it straight. It's the serpent, it's the devil, it's Satan. It's the serpent that deceived Eve in the first chapter, the third chapter of the book of Genesis. Now we've gone all the way to the last chapter of the Bible. We've gone through the Bible tonight. Isn't that great? The whole book. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal on him so that he could not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years was finished. After that, he must be released for a short time. Then from the verse 14 to 19, he's released. Then his final destination is in verse 10. Then after 1,000 years, the fire comes down from heaven, out of heaven, devours the folks, and the devil, Satan, the dragon, deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now listen, where the beast, well, that's the Antichrist, and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever. Say ever. Ever, say it loud, and ever. And Satan, who exalted himself in Isaiah chapter 14, tells about it. And now the last part of this book, the last of Revelation, he is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. He's there with the Antichrist. He's there with the false prophet. He's there where all of the folks at the white throne judgment in the next few verses are going to be cast into that same place. He is there forever and ever. Pride goes to hell and stays there forever. And his father, Satan, is there with every person that's listened to him, will be there forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Now let's see what Jesus Christ, who humbled himself in Philippians. Now let's read his end in the 19th chapter in the 11th verse. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a new name that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. That's from the cross. The blood of the cross is still powerful. It's there. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him in white horses. Now on this, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he strikes the nations. He himself will rule with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, forever and ever. Let's put your hands up and praise him tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Satan's end is sure. Hallelujah. And ours is certain. His end is destruction, and those that follow him. Now follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, take up your cross and follow him. Let this mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. You must discern the spirits. You have to know when Satan is telling you to lift yourself up. You tell the devil to get behind you, that you're going to humble yourself and you're going to walk with Jesus Christ, and his spirit is going to be upon you, and his love will come into you, and in his power. Satan's pride goes down. Pride is destroyed by the cross. Pride is destroyed, and Satan is destroyed, and Jesus Christ will rule forever and ever and ever, and there'll be no end to his kingdom, and those that accept his spirit are going to rule with him. If we humble ourselves, he's going to lift us up. Hallelujah. Those that lift themselves up are going down. Those that come down are going to be lifted up with Jesus Christ. He came down. Come down with Jesus and walk with Jesus and live with him and talk with him and have his love and his spirit within you, and his peace will overwhelm you. But you must shut your ears to Satan, and you must embrace his truth. No rebellion, no coming against him. When he says, love your enemies, we love our enemies. When he says, humble ourselves, we humble ourselves. We do what he says. His spirit comes within us, and we have peace, 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 joy. You know, houses don't give you peace. Cars won't give you peace. I don't care what car you're driving. It's going to wind up in the junkyard. Doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. It's peace it has. It's the spirit of Jesus, of praise, of love, of caring, of forgiveness, hallelujah, of forgiveness, of embracing him, of walking with him and becoming his light in this dark world. America will come down. Every proud nation comes down. All of them do. Every proud person is coming down. Every ruler that's proud comes down. But God lifts up the humble. Humility defeated pride. Jesus defeated Satan and is going to rule forever and ever. And we are going to, and his cross defeats the pride of Satan within us. And we accept his cross and his spirit. And we're going to rule and reign and live with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He that has me, has Jesus, has eternal life, and shall never die. They that have me shall never die. All of those that have Satan and pride are going to die twice, but those that know Jesus never die. Open your heart to him tonight. Get filled with his spirit and his love. Ask God to help you to always recognize Satan and to recognize Christ. Christ brings us down. Satan is trying to lift us up. Walk humbly with Christ, and you'll walk for eternity. Hallelujah. God bless you, everyone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Tonight, as you've heard the word of the Lord, God's been speaking to hearts here. I know he's been speaking to my heart. If you need to get right with God tonight, you need to come to the front here. We're going to worship, and then we're going to pray together. If you've been walking in rebellion to God, to authority, you know, God has established authorities in our lives, from our employers to police to parents. God has established authorities all around us, spiritual leaders. And if you've been in rebellion to authorities, established authorities in your life, you need to come and lay that down, get right with God. If you've been backbiting, talking bad about authorities in your life, on the job, that kind of thing, that's rebellion, folks. That is the principle of Satan himself, and you need to get that right with the Lord tonight. But this altar is open. If you're not living for Jesus, maybe you've wandered in here, maybe someone invited you, and maybe this is your first time, and you say, Pastor, tonight I'm on the wrong side, but I want to get on the right side. I want to be with Jesus. I want to live for God. This altar in the front is open. We're going to worship together, and then Pastor Ben's going to come back, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe God to set you free tonight. But let's stand all over this house, main floor up in the balcony. If you need to get things right tonight, you come to this altar. If you're backslidden, step out of your seat. Come to the front. God is going to touch you. He's going to restore you tonight to himself in the name of Jesus. And we're going to cancel the assignment of hell. We're going to cancel the assignment of the devil over your life. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Folks, Jesus Christ loves every person here. Every person. He loves you. He's delighted that you come. He wants to help you. He's able to help you. What you've got to be is willing. And you've got to want him. You've got to open your heart to him tonight. He wants to forgive you for every wrong, every proud, every wrong thing. He's looking to forgive you. He died to wash it away. He wants to. He wants to be in you. He wants his spirit to go into you. So ask him in faith, believing. He loves you. He loves you and died for you. So ask him to come inside and say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for any pride. Forgive me for any ill will, for rebellion, for any wrong spirit toward others. And let me have your spirit, and your peace will come within me. And let me walk with you, and let me be embraced, and hug me, and let me love you, Jesus, and let me have your love in my life. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me for wrong spirits, any rebellion, any arrogance, that he's going to take it out. He wants to. And put your hands up now and let's believe him. Put your hands way up all over. Let us pray right out loud. Heavenly Father, we come to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. And we ask you, forgive us for any pride and for all of it. And help us to recognize it. And not cover it up, but to confess it to you. And now we ask you to cleanse us and let us, your light shine in our lives. Now give me your love. You love me, Jesus, and I love you, and I embrace your love. I accept your love. I accept your love for everybody. I ask you now. And I thank you, giving me love for those that I haven't loved. And let me represent you. Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to be close to you. I need you. I invite you. And I thank you for hearing me tonight. I thank you and I praise you. That you've bore my sins and that I am your child. And let me get closer to you and walk with you every day. Every day, every hour. Now go with me, Lord. Give me a love for your word. Help me to love the book, to love your truth, to be filled with it, and to live it out that the light can shine. Jesus, when you come, I'm here to welcome you. I'm here to look for your return. I thank you tonight I thank you tonight. I praise you tonight. And I give you the glory for hearing my prayer. Hallelujah. Let's praise him tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He cares. He wants you to be like him. Hallelujah. That's where the joy comes. I can't dance. My legs won't. But I wish I could, because I love him tonight. He loves you, and he wants us to praise him and shout his praises and walk with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One last word. Greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world. Greater is the love than hate. Greater is love than hate. Humility is greater than proud, and we win. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.